I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm tired of hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you motherfucker.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio. This is show 81, possibly the last show under this format. As you know, this show is a little bit on the late side because the shows are just hard to do. So we think we've come up with a way to make the shows easier to do, but before we start a new format, we're going to close out this format. And since it's so big and so long and so good, we're just going to get right into it. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show 81. Let's get into it. Boom.
This is www.bartcop.com.
So I'm watching a rerun of The West Wing the other day. It's the one where CJ got her tooth worked on and they kept trying to make her say Foggy Bottom. It's also the episode where James Edward Olmos was going to be a Supreme Court judge, but he got thrown in jail. I thought it was really cool the way Sam and Toby handled this little Connecticut, whatever it was, police department. They said, who are you? And he said, I work for the president. And the sooner you realize that I'm telling the truth, the better off we're all going to be. That's a good line. I'm going to remember that next time some ass gives me a problem. But there was a scene in the show where, because CJ had been to the dentist, they needed someone else to do the press briefing. So Josh Lyman said, I'll do it, I'll do it. And they all said, no, that'll be a disaster. And he said, no, one, I'll behave myself, I'll do it right. So he gave Danny Kincannon a little crap before the press conference started, saying, hey, things are different, I'm in charge, you're not entitled to a bunch of this and that. And he kind of laid down the law to the press, which is what they do today. And the press says, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Back then, when Clinton was president, the press was a ferocious tiger demanding answers constantly. And there was a little exchange. Damn, I wished I'd recorded it. That would have been good. But Danny Kincannon asked Josh a question, and Josh gave him some formulaic bullshit answer. And Danny said, well, that's fine, but I wonder if you might answer my question. And so Josh gave him another formula canned answer. And Danny said, you know, that's a really good answer. For some other question, how about answering the question I asked? And at that point, he got in a lot of trouble, and that was part of the basis for the show. But it reminded me how today's press, they just lay down. If they say, Mr. President, why were you asleep on 9/11? He would say something like, a man can't be awake all the time. And they'd say, oh, okay, and then change the subject. And that's the problem we have with this horrible flood in New Orleans. The Republicans like to pretend they're being picked on, but the problem is they refuse to answer the question. They're hiding something, and we don't know what it is, and the press refuses to look. Remember when there was a suggestion, there was an allegation that Clinton might have had a girlfriend? Oh, it was vitally important that we get everybody in the White House under oath immediately and ask everybody in the White House under oath what anybody might have known about anything. It was a big fishing exposition. They said, well, we don't know if there's been a crime committed, but we want to be sure. We want to give it a good hard look and just double check. And, oh, God forbid, what if the president had used his power to get Monica a job? That would have been the biggest crime in all of American history. Not all the murders that Bush commits, not all the trillions that the BFEE has stolen, not all the treasonous acts that the BFEE has committed, no, all that's okay. But God forbid Bill Clinton tried to get Monica a job. That is a crime. That's why he was impeached, because he had a girlfriend. So that's what's been going on in New Orleans this week. when the press says, Mr. President, where were you? We have people dying of thirst. We have people dying of starvation. Where have you been? And Bush's answer is, we're here now. And let's look forward. The press goes, okay. And that's just bullshit. Why the hell can't they do their jobs? Why can't a reporter say, well, Mr. President, that's a real good answer, but why can't you answer my question? They just can't do it. And when you can't answer a question about why hundreds or thousands of people died, when you refuse to, it's not that he can't answer it, he won't answer it. And they won't press him for an answer. And the Democrats won't press him for an answer because they're afraid somebody might say something. A guy like Robert Novak might have an opinion, and he might get on TV with that opinion. And of course, talk radio and everybody else are all going to rally around him, and they'll create a big thing. And because the Democrats don't know how to fight back, they're afraid to get into a fight. It's one thing I really like. My favorite part of the American legal system, not that I know a lot about it, I am not an attorney, even though I am undefeated in court. My favorite part about a trial is when one of the attorneys looks at the judge and says, Judge, permission to treat this witness as hostile. That's the whole linchpin, I think, of the American justice system. If you say, what did you do last Thursday? And the witness says, hard to remember. All them days run together. That's how Bush answers questions. But then the attorney looks at the judge and says, Your Honor, permission to treat him as hostile. And when the judge says, okay, then you say, is it not true that Thursday at 2 o'clock you went to the Jones department store and you bought a tie and you gave that tie to this other guy who gave you X and, you know, that's how you ask a question. When you ask a question like that and the guy says, yeah, I did that, or no, you got the wrong guy, at least you've got an answer there. But Bush refuses to answer simple questions, and since no reporter has the balls to say, Sir, why are you afraid to answer the question, sir? Why can't you give us a straight answer? I thought you were from Texas, where you talked the plain language of the simple man. You always talk about, down in Texas we call this, and we got values in Texas and straight talking and all that, but we can't get a straight answer out of you, Mr. President. Why is it there are thousands of people dead? And Bush says, well, you know, it was the biggest storm ever. Well, no, that doesn't explain why Harry Connick got there. Harry Connick Jr. got there, what was it, Wednesday morning or Thursday morning? Harry Connick beat the National Guard there by, what, 48 hours? And when they asked Bush, what happened to the National Guard? It was a big storm. It's hard to move a lot of people. Hey, bullshit. If Harry Connick Jr. can drive a pickup truck to downtown New Orleans, the National Guard can drive a Humvee. Remember, the National Guard has an unlimited credit card. All the military does. Matter of fact, they probably have the legal power to pull into a filling station in the United States and say, I need a fill-up. Lives are at stake. I mean, hell, you figure the filling station owner would do that anyway. If they say, we got a truckload of supplies, I need to borrow $300 worth of diesel fuel to get these supplies to the starving people, I don't think a lot of filling stations would deny them that. But they are hiding something. They refuse to tell the truth. The Democrats and the press are afraid to ask the question, and it's just not right. There are so many people. I'm going to be the one that goes out on a limb. I'm reading in today's paper, today is Friday the something, 9th maybe. They're saying, oh, maybe it's not going to be as bad as we thought. I disagree. I'm going out on a limb. I keep seeing houses where the only thing above water is the roof. There's maybe 3 or 4 feet between the water line and the top of the house. And what choice did these people have? It's a effing hurricane. The water is coming up. When the water comes into the house, you move to the second floor. When the water gets to the second floor, you move into the attic. And once you're in the attic, you got to be Shelley Winters from the Poseidon Venture to get out. Think how few people thought in advance. There's a flood coming. I better bring a hatchet. I better bring an axe. I better bring a chainsaw and a gallon of gas with me up into the attic. You think 1 in 1,000 people thought of that? Well, maybe 1 in 1,000, but the other 999 houses did not think of that. And when the waters got high, and they're still high, you're hearing reports about, oh, the water's down 6 inches. Well, great. We got 16 feet of water. Now we got 15 feet of water and 6 inches. Now, if you're stuck in your attic and the only way out is to take a deep breath and swim through the fetid, urine-soaked, it's not urine soaked, it's full of urine. Urine and feces, and they said diesel fuel and all that. They're not going to do it. All they can do is lay there and hope. You know, another thing, a little sidebar, I'm rambling. You know, it's real hard to look at a story this big and have a plan. I sure as I had a producer, someone that could break the flood story down into 6 parts, and, you know, we could get into part 1, then part 2, part 3. But don't you think it ought to be a law that it seems like whenever anything happens, if there's a tornado, if there's a flood, if there's a wind, if there's a lightning storm, anything happens, all cell phones go out. Now, I'm a little confused by that. Why can't they, if they have to use some government money, but why can't they build some cell phone towers that work? If nothing else, they could build, say, three, put them roughly in the center of the city, not all together, of course, but if you've got to have help, and you know if you can make it to 5th and Broadway, they say the reception is good there, your cell phone will work there. Now, say that would make a lot of sense, but it's crazy. For an entire city, a million people like in New Orleans, they're all unable to speak to anybody because the cell towers went down. And granted, it's a big storm, but you know, cell phone towers are made out of very thin steel. It's not like a sail. A sail is designed to catch the wind. A cell phone tower is not. How strong a wind does it take to blow down a cell phone tower? It's steel that the wind goes through. What's going to pull down the cell phone tower? It's not like it's full of wires. It's just a tower up in the air that receives and broadcasts electrical impulses. But every time somebody sneezes, the cell phone service should not go down. Why don't they make that priority? Why doesn't the government call Sprint and Verizon, all these people in the room, and say, hey, if we give you whatever, $1 billion apiece, can you put up a couple of stormproof towers in every city? That would save a lot, but we're getting off the point. The point is, Bush is lying about what happened after the storm, and nobody's holding them accountable for it. I haven't heard any Democrat say anything that was untoward. I haven't heard any, and not that they should, I'm just saying, they're so afraid to criticize Bush. My God, the anchors on Fox News are criticizing Bush. I guess you heard the story about, what's his name, Shepard Smith? Hannity tried to shout him down saying, hey, keep things in perspective, Shep. And he said, no, damn it, I am in perspective. I'm looking at these people right now. There's people dying in front of me. There's bodies all over the place. Don't tell me to keep this in perspective. That's how Fox News treated this. But CNN, a little more cautious, and the Democrats, of course, they're nowhere to be found. I can't believe Mary Landrieu stood up there that first or second day. Oh, Bush has done such a fantastic job. Yeah, if my parents are dead in an attic somewhere, I'm liable to go berserk like Billy Jack. It would greatly piss me off if I lost family members because Bush forgot to ask for any help. Again, this whole Harry Connick Jr. You remember back in 9/11, it was James Woods. James Woods was on one of the flights where the hijackers were doing a test run. And he went up to the pilot or one of the stewardesses or something when they landed in L.A. and said, hey, those four Middle Eastern guys... Oh, no, I'm sorry. During the flight, he went to a flight attendant or one of the stewards, whatever they're called, and said, these four guys, I can tell by they're glancing at each other, they're nodding to each other, these four guys I think are going to hijack the plane. And they said, yeah, actor boy, sit down. And when they landed in L.A., the FBI met him. And he told the FBI, these four Middle Eastern looking guys, they had something planned. They didn't do anything, but I could tell they were communicating with each other, and they were like sitting in different seats, so nobody knew they were together, but they were so obviously together, you could just see them exchanging glances, but nobody cared. Nobody bothered to follow up on it. Bush said, who could have known? Yeah, well, everybody could have known, at least the ones that read the daily briefings. Piece of crap. But instead of James Woods this time, we got Harry Connick Jr. I didn't see the whole thing, but he said he jumped in a truck and drove there. He said, that would have surprised me too. I would have thought there was power lines down and telephone poles down and trees all over the place. I would have thought it would be impossible to get there. Is that what Bush did? Did he think, oh, I'll bet the trees are down. Let's give, I don't know, who are you going to wait for to clean the shit up, if not for the National Guard? But they just sat there and waited. But we know we're being lied to once again, and we're just taking it. That pisses me off. Why is nobody else pissed about Bush between his recklessness? Remember when right after he got elected, or maybe it was during the campaign, he said, well, you know, I don't read a lot of books. I like to shoot from the hip. I like to make my gut decisions. Well, your gut decisions aren't worth a shit, Mr. President. If you're wanting to play poker, I got a gut feeling that my eights are good and could win the pot. That's one thing. But you don't go on gut feelings when there's thousands of lives at stake. You bastard. If only we had a press or an opposition party in this country, by God, if I was in charge of it, your approval rating would be in the 20s right now, because all you got to do is show the light of truth. If you can refute the truth, then more power to you. But since you can't, you remain quiet. You remain silent because you're getting away with something and nobody cares. No matter how many people die, they're not going to call you on it. That's a shame.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator.
We're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
He is but one of the victim among thousands, but for many of us, he will forever symbolize the heartbreak of the catastrophe. We first met Hardy Jackson just hours after Katrina slammed into his Biloxi neighborhood, shell-shocked, not knowing where to turn. Well, here he is a week later with CNN's Tony Harris.
His face is etched into our collective memory.
Who was at your house with you?
My wife.
Where is she now?
Can't find her body. She gone.
And so is Hardy Jackson's story.
I hold her hand tight like I could, and she told me, you can't hold me.
Before the true nightmare of New Orleans was known, Katrina devastated Biloxi, Mississippi, and made Hardy Jackson's anguish one of the indelible images of this disaster.
Everybody see me now. They walk up to me. Oh, with tears in their eyes. Oh, and sorrow in their heart.
Today, Hardy Jackson is trying to fulfill the promise he made to Tony, his wife of 29 years, to take care of their three children and three grandchildren. But it has been a struggle in so many ways. This is the only picture that remains of Tony and Hardy together.
They were my wife. They were my best friend. They were my mama.
Jackson's sister Sharon and her husband in an Atlanta suburb are trying to stabilize the family. But a small three-bedroom house is now home for 10 people, including the seven newcomers, family members who survived a horrible ordeal and have nowhere else to go.
I know you're not.
But I just thank God. I thank God for being safe.
Food, clothing, and shelter will bridge the short-term crisis. But coming to terms with the shambles Katrina made of Hardy's life will take a very long time.
It was a knock of death. Doom, 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 doom. I said, oh, babe, things don't look good. They don't look good. I said, baby, please don't let go. Please don't let go. Nobody ran to help. Nobody. Just me and her. And she said, Hardy, she said, let go. You can't hold me. Oh, I said, please, baby, don't say that. I said, I'm going to save you. Please, Tank, don't leave me. She said, take care of them kids and take care of them grandkids. She looked at my ass, man, just like I'm looking to your ass, man, and let go. And she went back to the north, man. That water, man, took her back out there in the sea, man, somewhere.
Throw the ball.
Hardy Jackson made a promise to his wife to take care of the kids and the grandkids. It's a promise he plans to keep. He just needs some help to get started.
I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. So help me God. 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 Help me God.
If you give me your trust, I will honor it. If you give me your trust, if you give me your trust, I will honor it. Give me your trust. When I put my hand on the Bible, when I put my hand on the Bible, I will swear to not only uphold the laws of our land, I will swear to uphold the honor, 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 honor.
We're going to scare you in the voting booth. Hear me loud and clear. We're going to scare you, 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 to scare you.
If you give me your trust, I will honor it. Give me your trust.
joining me from Baton Rouge is Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu. Senator, appreciate you joining us tonight. Does the federal government bear responsibility for what is happening now? Should they apologize for what is happening now?
Anderson, there will be plenty of time to discuss all of those issues about why and how and what and if. This situation is very serious, and it's going to demand all of our full attention through the hours, through the night, through the days. Let me just say a few things. Thank President Clinton and former President Bush for their strong statements of support and comfort today. I thank all the leaders that are coming to Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama to our help and rescue. We are grateful for the military assets that are being brought to bear. I want to thank Senator Frist and Senator Reid for their extraordinary efforts, Anderson, tonight. I don't know if you've heard, maybe you all have announced it, but Congress is going to an unprecedented session to pass a $10 billion supplemental bill tonight to keep FEMA
Excuse
and
me,
the
Senator?
Red Cross up and operating.
Excuse me, Senator, I'm sorry for interrupting. I haven't heard that because for the last 4 days, I've been seeing dead bodies in the streets here in Mississippi. And to listen to politicians thanking each other and complimenting each other, you know, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people here who are very upset and very angry and very frustrated. And when they hear politicians slap, you know, thanking one another, it just, you know, it kind of cuts them the wrong way right now. Because literally, there was a body on the streets of this town yesterday being eaten by rats because this woman had been laying in the street for 48 hours and there's not enough facilities to take her up. Do you get the anger that is out here?
Anderson, I have the anger inside of me. Most of the homes in my family have been destroyed. Our homes have been destroyed. I understand what you're saying, and I know all of those details. And the President of the United States knows those details. I'm not angry at anyone. I'm just expressing that it is so important for everyone in this nation to pull together for all military assets and all assets to be brought to bear to this situation. And I have every confidence that this country is as great and as strong as we can be to do that. And that effort is underway.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people here who are kind of ashamed of what is happening in this country right now, what is ashamed of what is happening in your state, certainly. And that's not to blame the people who are there. It's a desperate situation. No one seems to be taking responsibility. I mean, I know you say there's a time and a place for kind of, you know, looking back, but this seems to be the time and the place. I mean, there are people who want answers, and there are people who want someone to stand up and say, you know what, we should have done more. Are all the assets being brought to bear? I mean, today, for
Anderson,
the first time, I'm seeing National
Anderson.
Guard troops in this town.
Anderson, I know, and I know where you are, and I know what you're seeing. Believe me, we know it. And we understand, and there will be a time to talk about all of that. Trust me. I know what the people are suffering. The governor knows, the president knows, the military officials know, and they're trying to do the very best they can to stabilize the situation. Senator Vitter, our congressional delegation, all of us understand what is happening. We are doing our very, very best to get the situation under control. But I want to thank the president. He will be here tomorrow, we think. And the military is sending assets as we speak. Nobody's perfect, Anderson. Everybody has to stand up here. And I know you understand. So thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Pelosi, as you stand here and continue to criticize the administration and criticize the director of FEMA. I do want to tell you the White House coming forward today, Scott McClellan coming forward today, and basically disputing your account of your meeting with the president. And I'm looking at it here saying that you said you urged the president to replace the embattled FEMA director because of the poor emergency response to Hurricane Katrina. However, McClellan saying that's not what you discussed with the president, that you were discussing other things with the president, and that things are being twisted here in a bit.
No, that's absolutely not true. Mr. McClellan wasn't there, so he couldn't possibly know. What happened was I said to the president, Mr. President, we can begin to help these victims of Katrina become whole again. First thing you can do is to replace Michael Brown as the head of FEMA, to which the president said, why would I do that? And I said, because of what happened last week and the failure of FEMA to be the real link between the federal government and the people in need in our country, the social compact, to which the president said, what didn't go right last week? That's what happened in the meeting. I stand by that. If the president thinks everything went right last week and he wants to keep Michael Brown there, then I think that's going to be a cost to the American people in lives and livelihood.
Well, I'm not coming forward.
But if he wants to then say that it didn't go right last week, then he should replace Michael Brown.
But if we go back, I mean, we can go back year after year after year, and we can talk about FEMA and what went wrong within FEMA and should FEMA be under the Department of Homeland Security. But if we want to be historical here and we want to go back in time, I mean, we can go back to the Times-Picayune and the investigation when reporters revealed that time after time, monies were asked for from all types of various politicians. I mean, politicians you work side by side with, laws that you yourself vote on, and monies that should have gone to Louisiana to take care of the problems with regard to the flood control systems. And I think it's unfair that FEMA is just singled out. There are so many people responsible for what has happened in the state of Louisiana.
That is true, and I'm sorry that you think it's unfair, but I don't. I think it's unfair to the people who lost their family members, their lives, their livelihood, their homes, their opportunity, and FEMA did a poor job. It had no chance.
What about all the warnings from the Army Corps of Engineers saying there's a problem with these levees, there's a problem with this city?
Thyra, if you want to make a case for the White House, you should go on their payroll.
But I'm not making a case for the White House, by all means, believe me.
The White House has cut this year 72% of the request from Louisiana for flooding money. The White House has cut the Army Corps of Engineers by a large percentage in this last fiscal year. But the point is not to argue about that. The point is, where do we go from here to help these people? The last thing the American people need is bickering right now over this, except to make their rescue safer, to a return to normalcy for them.
So you think taking Mike Brown out of FEMA right now and replacing Mike Brown with somebody else will change this entire dynamic?
I do indeed. I think it's a question of the judgment of President Bush that he would have somebody in this crucial position who has no qualifications for the job. And if you need any further evidence of that, you need only look to the performance
of FEMA
in the past week.
Right back with Bartkopf Radio.